How are you?
Good.
And how is New Year?
Great.
Do you have a list of things that you want to achieve this New Year?
Oh, no.
Same. Sometimes staying the same is challenging. Mm-hmm. So, New Year has begun, and we might want to improve a few things. We might want to change a few things. You might have received some new inspirations and you want to do work on it. Now, how can we assure ourselves that we will do it to the end of the year without dropping it like end of January, beginning of February? I was reading a news article that says about 80% of people drops it in the beginning of February. An interesting thing, actually, is that's what Joanne was saying. Sometimes we make a list to impress others and myself. Then it's too much. And sometimes you really want to achieve it, but it is actually too much for you. So you actually get exhausted. How do we get the idea? Where does it come from? Where does this idea come to you saying that you need to improve yourself? You're not good enough. Who is telling you that?
Your peers.
Is it peers? Is it society? Is it news media? Is it SNS?
All of them.
All of them? Paris?
Our nature to strive and never be better.
That's also, yes, that's one good theory about we have. Too, right? We want to progress. We want to change things. We are, by species, we are Homo sapiens. And Homo sapiens did something that was uniquely different from all its predecessors. You know what that was? They explored the world to the end. Why? We don't know. They appeared about 10,000 years ago. They're not that big of the group. They could simply stayed in northern Africa or even, you know, Persian area. But they explored every place. Even they managed to go to Australia. How? We don't know. Probably there is something in us too that is telling us we need to change, improve, get better. Yet, in what sense? In what sense? Interesting thing about this is that from the west to the east and east to the west, about same time, I have shared with you this a few times, from Socrates in the west to the Confucius in the east, and the Buddha and other people in the middle, somehow shared all that we need to see something that's truer than what we see as true. That makes sense?
Say that again.
There is something that is truer,
truer
that we need to see than what we normally see as true. So in a very simple way of saying, in a Buddhist way, everything we perceive as real is creation of our mind, equal to, say, illusion. And there's a true reality that is actually happening, but somehow we're not paying attention to it.
Will the truth set us free? Will the truth set us free?
Pointerius?
No. Will the truth set us free?
Well, that's Jesus, yes. And again, if it's free, then free from what? And free into what? We want to be free, and we say we're free beings. But then we feel like we're not that free. What is it that is actually then limiting us or imprisoning us? So in from this scripture reading, according to Swedenborg, this ark that is in the flood, it appears as a protection in the beginning from the flood. So we need the ark to survive. But after rain stops, the symbolism of ark changes into limitation, imprisonment within the small little reality that we create and we feel comfortable. So the symbolism of this flood story is not at all about God trying to destroy everything on earth. That would be silly, actually, to believe even that. It is all about human and God relationship, and more essentially, what is most important to humans to be really free, and free from what? Free from actually self-created box. In the beginning, we need it. That's the problem. So we spend a good time of our life creating that box. Why? It gives us security, protection. It gives us comfort. It actually even gives us actually whole, in a way, freedom. Because do you know that if you just go out to the wilderness and then you are like open all side, do whatever you like to do, you don't feel free. But if you go to a camp or retreat and says, this is the rules, this is the guidelines, this is this and this is your free time, do whatever you like to do, and you're like, yay! Somehow, like, you can do something about it. So we need certain guidelines, boundaries, protections, again, in the beginning. But when we get mature enough, we need to actually get out of it. And getting out is not easy. And that is the symbolism of the raven and the dove. Have you ever wondered, reading this old story, that why Noah picked raven first? And then dove three times after that. Why not just begin with the dove? It seems like he likes the dove, right? I mean, he releases bird, one bird once, the other three times. Yes, Mike?
I think because he doesn't really like the raven, so he won't.
He changed his mind?
He changed his mind.
Maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow, he picked the raven first. A black bird. And the color black has kind of negative symbolism. Only because, why? Well, it is actually the darkness that is in the Genesis. And God liberates humans from darkness. That's kind of Genesis story. That's where let there be light. There's an image of God bringing light into humanity, human mind, that is all over in the Bible. That's a big theme. And the darkness is what? Absence of light. And the color of darkness is? Black, yes. That's why black has actually negative symbolism. And raven being black symbolizes confusion, hesitation, and summarizing into something called falsity. What kind of falsity? It's a self-justification of saying that I don't really need to get out of the ark. Ark is comfortable. This is home. Maybe I can stay here. That's the raven. But of course, it goes nowhere. And then Noah picks actually dove. Dove symbolizes, usually dove, difference between, I kind of looked into it in a way, but when we call dove, it's kind of actually white pigeon, right? So the focus here is not the kind of bird, but the color, a white. And at that we call it as color of light. So, dove symbolizes the truth. And it takes three times. It symbolizes that accepting truth takes time, even if it's so obvious. And also, it symbolizes that even if it feels too much, even if we're not really willing to do it, even if we failed, let's say, twice, three times, five times, 20 times, if you're older, maybe 60 times, keep on trying. That's what the dove means with the three times. Because at the end, there's a liberation. This liberation is tough and hard. And to me, this is what basically all religion and wisdom are kind of teaching, East or West. Our mind creates a reality, something, a box, as soon as we're born. And part of it is given by the society, culture, parents, but also the other is actually accumulated and formed and made by myself. And we made it very comfortable home within it. And problem is, that's not real. So we need to get out of it. We need to liberate ourselves. And it's a hard task. And it will be actually challenged by falsity and self-justifying, in a way of saying, self-convincing and kind of deceiving, saying, I don't need to do that. I can stay here. And it takes time. And don't give up. It will happen. And Noah's story at the end is God is actually waiting outside. And all problems gone. So, Happy New Year. My apologies for giving you a little heavy message on New Year. I was thinking of giving you just encouragement, but then just encouragement doesn't really last long. It may be make you feel better here than as soon as you walk out of the church, it may start disappearing. So I hope this kind of stays in your mind and hopefully keep on encouraging you, keep on trying what you've been doing, and also believe that the world, the truer reality awaits you, and God is in that. Amen.
Amen.